You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. In studio today, we've got ChicagoFootball.com fantasy football writer, JC Talon. JC, how you doing?
Good.
And on the line, we've got Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going today?
Pretty good, healthy, a lot more than we can say for a lot of players around the NFL this week. So, yeah, no complaints on this end.
Well, first, I want to start. I feel like we should have T-shirts made up that say, I survived playing against Drew Brees in Week 8. I'm bragging. It's not a humble brag. I'm absolutely bragging about this. One of my leagues, I went up against Drew Brees. He put up 60 points in that game, that absolute shootout with the Giants. I had Eli Manning, though, so everything's all right on my end. JC, you went up against Brees this week, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was cheering for him because in my main league, I've got him, and then I realized in my other league I was going against him. So, but I wound up, I hung in there.
All right, he gets a T-shirt, too. Arthur, are you a member of the T-shirt club of I Survived Drew Brees?
No, I'm okay not having that T-shirt. I was fortunate to not see Brees in any leagues. I did, unfortunately, see the Eli Odell stack in another league, and obviously I wasn't able to weather that. So
that's
a little rough. I do want to quickly just mention that our very own host, Mr. Solly, I'm sure it was you, telling our listeners a few weeks back to buy low on Drew Brees and the Saints offense. Am I remembering correctly?
Sure, we'll go with it. I think I may
I'm
have
pretty
said
sure
that.
That was me.
Was it? All right. One of us said it.
I apologize, Jason.
I did trade for Drew Brees, so maybe that was me. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna take credit for it. Yeah, Brees, he wasn't healthy, but clearly still playing and getting back from that shoulder injury. Give that a couple of weeks, and I'm gonna keep that in mind with Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't look fantastic against Cincinnati this past week, but he's just coming back from injury. You know, even though he lost Le'Veon Bell, that may mean more on his shoulders. Give it a couple of weeks. I think Ben Roethlisberger is another good buy low opportunity, and I'll take credit for that one too in a couple of weeks. But let's start with some news and notes. And guys, I feel like this may be the most important week in fantasy football in your season-long leagues this season because one of all the injuries, and we're going to get to those in a second, but if you're looking for guys on the waiver wire, there are moves you can make that can pay off for the rest of the season. I think this is absolutely huge. We're going to start with the two big ones, Le'Veon Bell and Matt Forte. Bell is out for the season. Forte out for really kind of who knows how long. John Fox said it's not season ending, but we do not have a timetable on Matt Forte coming back. So obviously it's D'Angelo Williams and Jeremy Langford from here on out, isn't it, JC?
Yeah, I think D'Angelo Williams is a great play. Hopefully if you had Le'Veon Bell, you had stashed Williams on your bench. If not, if he's available in your league, he's going to go. He'll be the first guy picked up this week. Langford, I don't know. Sometimes we make the mistake in fantasy thinking that the replacement's going to produce at the same level as the guy he's replacing. Well, there's a reason why he's number two on the depth chart. I'm not sure Langford will come anywhere near approaching what Matt Forte was putting up. And we also don't know how long Matt Forte is out. My guess is it's probably longer than we're being led to believe. So Langford's definitely a good pickup, but I think of the two, D'Angelo Williams has got a lot more value.
Arthur, you were at Soldier Field on Sunday. What did you see out of Jeremy Langford?
I thought it started out really well. He was running hard. He was being productive and kind of more of what we've seen. He brings a little bit of a speed element. He brings a little versatility to that offense, not unlike Matt Forte, obviously, with the receiving ability. So I thought he looked pretty good. But then obviously what most Bears fans will remember was the big drop on third down on the Bears' last drive that prevented them from going down and potentially getting the go-ahead score. So, that's what's going to happen. He's a fourth-round rookie. You have to endure those growing pains. But, I'm pretty high on Jeremy Langford. He's a college wide receiver for a year. I think he can bring that receiving ability to the table. And if nothing else, it's going to be all about the opportunity. And we've seen how John Fox and Adam Gase want to ride whoever's in that backfield. So I do think Langford is certainly worth a waiver claim. I do agree with JC, though. We've already seen D'Angelo Williams do it, both in the past and obviously earlier this year with Le'Veon Bell suspended.
Guys, do you think that the passing games then for Pittsburgh and Chicago, because we're on number two running backs, do you think the passing games maybe get a few more opportunities? And if you've got an Antonio Brown or an Alshon Jeffrey or Martavis Bryant, they start getting a few more opportunities down the road now that we're on the second string running backs. JC?
Well, yeah, it's possible. I think Pittsburgh's going to run their offense. I think, obviously, Le'Veon Bell, I think he's probably the best back in the league. So there's a drop-off, but D'Angelo Williams can catch the ball well. He runs the ball well. I don't think they'll change too much. The Bears, though, that might be one. Matt Forte did an awful lot. So if you have maybe the biggest beneficiary would be Martellus Bennett, because some of those out-of-the-backfield passes that were going to Forte, maybe those are short passes to the tight end now.
All right, a couple more transactions I want to talk about here. Steve Smith out for the season, so I'm not touching anybody in the Baltimore passing game. Maybe Crockett Gilmore gets a couple more throws at tight end. I'm staying away from that. Keenan Allen, his season is definitely in jeopardy after a kidney issue. He had a procedure. I think he may be out for the year. That news may be just breaking as we're taping this. Guys, any free agent wide receivers you can look at that might be good pickups, Arthur or JC?
I'll jump in there. It's pretty slim pickings, unfortunately. There's also Kamar Aiken in Baltimore, but he's obviously just a guy. However, he is the guy who expects to absorb some of those targets that are, have to go somewhere with Smith out. I think San Diego is more interesting. Obviously, Phillip Rivers has more passing attempts, more yards than anyone in football. And there are some other guys in there who are not owned at a very high rate. Malcolm Floyd was the guy who stepped up last week in Allen's absence. A good deep ball threat and has a pretty good rapport from being there forever with Rivers. And then I think Stevie Johnson is another guy, got a little banged up last week, but he's someone people were excited about in the preseason. And look, the balls have to go somewhere in a really, high octane passing offense. I think both of these guys are interesting and are going to be big waiver targets this week as well.
And as we're taping a couple more things, Keenan Allen is officially on season ending IR that just came across, and the Dallas Cowboys have cut bait on Joseph Randle. Arthur, that was a guy you and I talked about a lot in the preseason. Is it the Darren McFadden show now in Dallas, do you think?
Well, as long as he stays on the field, it is. So, I think there's an imminent injury coming, unfortunately. And obviously we've seen that Dallas isn't overly exciting. It's a bit of a fantasy wasteland at the moment. But, yeah, give him credit for what he's been able to do over the past couple weeks. And then, they did spend a draft pick to bring in Kristen Michael. So I know he's a little bit of a knucklehead, certainly not to the degree of Joseph Randle. They just decided they couldn't deal with his stuff off the field anymore. But, I've got Kristen Michael buried on the bench in one league, and I'm not ready to kind of cut bait on him just yet.
How much of a chucklehead do you have to be that the Dallas Cowboys wave you for your behavior?
That's a great point.
excellent point, JC. One more injury sort of related note. Both of the Jets QBs got hurt this past Sunday. Is it worth selling high on Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, given we don't really know what the status is for Fitzpatrick or Shutter Geno Smith?
Well, I don't. Most people are going to know that there's injury problems at the Jets quarterback. I mean, I play in a league with my mother-in-law. I might be able to pull the wool over her eyes, but most folks are going to know that. So it's going to be hard to sell high. The Fitzpatrick's thing. If Geno Smith's the quarterback, definitely both those guys, their value's going down. And last I heard, Fitzpatrick was going to try to play through this injury. So hopefully, they won't. Those two receivers won't have a huge drop off. But if Fitzpatrick's not out there, I Geno Smith's just not very good.
All right, we'll move on to one guy that I am buying low on, and it's Adrian Peterson. He hasn't scored a touchdown in 3 weeks, since week four against Denver. He's only topped 100 yards once in that time period, and it was against the Bears. I think that there are plenty of Adrian Peterson owners that might be frustrated out there. And Arthur, I think you could probably get him for less than what you might have had to offer a month ago.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. I wish I had Adrian Peterson. I can assure you I wouldn't be frustrated because all you have to do is turn on the tape and see what he did to the Bears last week. And he does have one meeting with the Bears left, has both meetings with Green Bay left. So I think the best is yet to come from Adrian Peterson this year. But that, you know, it's a great point by you. Those are the opportunities you're kind of looking for, and he hasn't found the end zone. And you know, and for a lot of guys who maybe are thinking he's touchdown dependent, of course he's not. He was on the cusp of 100 yards the 2 weeks prior to Chicago as well. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, put the trade offers out there. I think he looks excellent. Like I said, there's going to be some more enticing matchups left. I think the most curious thing about Sunday at Soldier Field is that Norv Turner didn't feed him even more with the struggles Teddy Bridgewater was experiencing. But I think that was more an aberration. We know that's a big-time run-first offense. And even with Peterson coming off the field on third down, there's plenty of opportunities for him.
Well, and I would recommend, as long as your trade deadline in your league isn't coming up, you might want to wait a week on making offers for Peterson, because he's got another tough opponent this week. Rams defense, sixth overall in yards allowed, ninth against the run, and fourth in points allowed. So he could have another subpar performance, and then his stock's going to go down even further. And I think next week would be a great time to pick him up.
Good point, good point. Let's move on. We're going to break down the Bears-Chargers game. Bears play on Monday Night Football at San Diego. Guys, I was looking at on Sunday. I thought, man, this thing could absolutely be a shootout. It opened up on Vegas with a 52 over under, and with all of the injuries, the Matt Forte, Keenan Allen, everybody, it's already down to 49 points. Arthur, do we still think that this could be a potential shootout type game with two poor defenses out there?
I do. Yeah, I think they're going to put up in excess of 50 points. If you look at what's going on with the Chargers, you talked about Keenan Allen, obviously, but the injuries on defense are just absolutely stunning what's been going on. They had 12 players leave early last week. Jeez. Players at every level. Yeah, it's been pretty remarkable. So, you know, this is going to be a big-time game for Alshon Jeffrey. I'm pretty sure of it. The Chargers have some undersized cornerbacks, Jason Verrett, Brandon Flowers, neither of whom are very healthy. And I think Jeremy Langford, I think the Chargers are 27th against the run. So this is a huge opportunity for Langford, and I expect him to come in and be able to contribute. Now, keep an eye. There were some rumblings that maybe the Bears would go out and kick the tires on a Monty Ball, someone like that. They have Anton Smith, the former Falcon as well. Obviously, keep an eye on those things. But right now, it's shaping up to be a pretty heavy workload for Jeremy Langford. And then we talked about on the Chargers side a little bit. I think Malcolm Floyd's a really good play, the deep ball specialist. Antonio Gates, keep an eye on the knee, but I think he's going to be okay too. So, and then, of course, Phillip Rivers obviously is poised to go ahead and shred the Bears secondary like several other quarterbacks before him.
JC, in your matchups to exploit column in our Bears insert that comes out every Thursday in your Northwest Herald, Chicago Sun-Times, and Daily Herald, do you see both sides of this game being in your matchups to exploit?
Yeah, you know, I didn't list Chicago as a matchup to exploit, but I do have San Diego. Arthur is right. San Diego has 27th rated rush defense. The Bears have the 29th. San Diego has the first rated pass offense. Believe it or not, the Bears have the fourth-ranked pass defense. But keep in mind, they haven't played a really premier offense since week two when they played Arizona and they got pasted. Sherrick McManus may be the worst coverage defensive back in the NFL. The Bears will, you know, pull a guy off the street if they have to try to keep him off the field. But as we saw last week, he found his way on the field and cost him a game. So I think Rivers goes nuts. But I also think it might be a week for Melvin Gordon to break out. The Bears, you know, 29th rated run defense. Teams haven't passed the ball that much on them because they haven't had to. So, yeah, I think this is a high-scoring game, and I think Chicago could have a good game, too. As Arthur pointed out, San Diego is really hurting on defense.
What do you guys think of Danny Woodhead in this matchup? He's normally been a passing down type of guy, but Gordon and Woodhead, both good plays, JC?
Maybe. Woodhead tends to dominate snaps when the Chargers are playing from behind. I think they're going to be ahead in this game. I could be wrong. I mean, the Chargers have every bit of the problems the Bears have. So it's possible. Danny Woodhead, definitely, I would call him worth a look.
Okay. If you're playing daily, this is a game you could stack both sides on if you really think this is going to shoot out like we do, and that would leave you a lot of room to go up and get some studs. You know, Cutler is 5,200 on DraftKings. Philip Rivers 6,900, which is okay. Langford's only 4,000. Alshon's probably the most expensive guy at 6,700, and all these Chargers receivers are under 4,000. So not a bad place to go for daily. Let's round out the podcast with our top plays at each position in season long in DFS this week. But we're going to do it a little different. We're going to give you our top overall player for the week, a mid-range guy, maybe the one in the best matchup, and then a sleeper. And we are going to start at quarterback with JC.
Okay, so you want my top overall play. You yep. want a mid-range guy and a sleeper.
Yeah.
I prepped for the show by giving you one of each, but not one at each position.
Okay.
All right, top overall play. As far as a quarterback position, I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers are facing the Raiders, have the number 31 pass defense. A mid-range guy, I'm going to say, you know, Drew Brees is going to have another good week, I think. But the Titans are 1-6, but their defense is a little better than people give it credit for. So, I'm picturing 2 or 3 touchdown passes this week from Brees, probably not 7. And then for a sleeper pick, I'll go with Jameis Winston. He gets the 32nd rank passing defense of the New York Giants.
I like the Winston pick. Arthur, where are you landing on quarterback this week?
Fortunately, I had a backup sleeper. I also like the Jameis Winston pick. He is really coming into his own for Tampa Bay. I guess I'll go in reverse. I think Josh McCown is interesting. He is quietly putting up pretty good numbers, 3 touchdowns in the first half last week. I know he's banged up, but if he does go, they're going to probably be behind against that Bengals offense, and I think McCown's a decent sleeper, a deep sleeper, if you will. Mid-range guy, Eli Manning, kind of what he did, I felt like was lost in the shuffle a little bit because of what Breeze did. But he gets that Buccaneers secondary that Matt Ryan just tore apart, obviously in a losing effort. And then, Tom Brady, I don't know what else I have to say. He's at home, 10 days rest, and he's going to obliterate that Washington secondary. I'm quite sure of it.
Yeah, that one's going to be ugly. I think Brady's got to be the top play of the week just because he's going to shred, like you said. My sleeper, again, it's Winston. I think that's everybody's sleeper this week, but just because everyone's saying it doesn't mean it's a bad play. The Giants just got absolutely destroyed by Drew Brees. Now you got Winston at home, and he is starting to come into his own. A Winston-Mike Evans stack, if you can pull that off in your season-long or in daily, that's a good one. And then Philip Rivers is my mid-range guy against the Bears secondary. I think he could actually maybe end up as the top overall guy for the week in fantasy. Let's look at running back, JC.
Running back, I'll go with Jonathan Stewart as my top play against the Packers. I think that Carolina's winning the ball games with Cam Newton doing a lot of running, but at some point they've got to take some of the hits away from him for him to make it through the whole season. I think they're going to slowly start giving Stewart the ball more often. Mid-range guy, go with Melvin Gordon. I think he breaks out this week against the Bears in their 29th rated run defense. And my sleeper is C.J. Spiller. Injury we didn't talk about, kind of a below-the-radar thing. Kerry Robinson is gone. He was getting between 6 and 12 carries every week. C.J. Spiller will now get his third down duties and potentially some goal line stuff. And I could just see that working out pretty well, especially this week against Tennessee.
All right, Arthur, who do you like at running back?
Yeah, I like Devontae Freeman quite a bit at the top, obviously going out to San Francisco. I know the Niners have been better at home defensively, but if Drew Brees threw 7 touchdowns last week, I think Blaine Gabbert is probably in line for 7 picks this week. So the Falcons could have a lot of opportunities to, milk the clock in a lead. And I think Freeman's a really strong play at the top. I actually had Jonathan Stewart as well as my mid-range guy against the Packers. Clay Matthews just got hurt. Nate Palmer was terrible against that Broncos defense, allowed Ronnie Hillman and of course CJ Anderson to go off in a big way. And then my sleeper, I stuck with Cleveland. I think Duke Johnson, the opportunities he's getting in the passing game make him intriguing. I know he hasn't done a lot on the ground, but again, that's a play from behind situation, and I think the rookie actually offers some value in terms of his versatility.
Yeah, Duke Johnson, especially in PPR and on DraftKings, where he's right. Going to get a full point for that reception. I'm with you on Freeman as being the top play of the week, especially against San Francisco. My mid-range guy is a Thursday guy, Jeremy Hill. Hill tends to get a few more carries when the Bengals are up. I think they're going to be up against the Cleveland Browns. So I think Jeremy Hill is in a real good spot. And my sleeper, I'm going with Langford. I like what I saw. I think that he'll get some opportunity, and San Diego cannot stop the run. So I think Jeremy Langford is my sleeper at running back. JC, how about wide receiver?
I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. I agree with you. Roethlisberger shakes off the rust, goes crazy this week against the Raiders. My mid-range guy, Mike Evans, a lot of injuries at Tampa Bay. He's clearly the go-to guy now. I think they'll have a decent week against the Giants. And then as a sleeper, let's go with Stevie Johnson playing against the Bears on Monday night.
Arthur, do you like a wide receiver this week?
Yeah, I also like Antonio Brown, but it was kind of a coin flip, so certainly Julio Jones will be a solid play too. He had a big fumble in that game last week, and Atlanta's looking for a big bounce back after a real disappointment. You can never really go wrong with Julio at the top. A mid-range guy, and I kind of had some trepidation going here because he's been burning me all season, but if ever the Eagles were going to find a way to involve Jordan Matthews, you'd think it would be coming off the bye, see if maybe they could get him a new pair of sticky gloves or something. The kid can't hold on to anything, so has a chance to work in the slot against the Cowboys. I don't know who's playing in the slot for them, but I know it's not Orlando Scandrick. And then I think this is another popular sleeper, but Vincent Jackson, after a week off getting that Giants defense that didn't really show up, obviously, at the Superdome. We talked a little bit about the ascent of Jameis Winston, so maybe that healing time will help Vincent Jackson, and after several slow weeks, maybe he can get it going, kind of get reacclimated in that offense.
I'm with you on Matthews as the mid-range guy. He's my mid-range guy this week. I think coming off the bye, people are going to forget about him, especially in daily. And those who were playing him are done with him. I'm riding Jordan Matthews until he actually does something. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to be wrong on the week that Jordan Matthews goes off. My top guy is Julian Edelman. I think that the way you beat Washington is through the air. Edelman's the top target there. I think he's going to at least see probably 10 to 12 targets, and we know what he can do when he gets that kind of volume. And then sleeper, I kind of like Malcolm Floyd. I'm all over the Bears in San Diego, and Malcolm Floyd's pretty cheap, $3,900 on DraftKings. We will close out with tight end, JC.
Well, I'm glad I get to go first on this one. You know, right now, if the Patriots were playing the army of Genghis Khan, I think the Patriots would be installed as four-point favorites. They're really on a roll, so I'm going to go with Gronkowski. I agree with you, though, against Washington, they should be able to have some success in the air. Mid-range guy, I'm going to go with Bennett. He's been slow the last few weeks, but he's very good, and Jay Cutler is playing very well, and he's going to get going one of these weeks. Why not this week? And then my sleeper, I noticed he's on the waiver wire in one of my larger leagues, Charles Clay, coming up against his old team this week. I'm not big on that revenge factor stuff, but Tyrod Taylor should be back, and Clay, you know, Buffalo's got a lot of problems with playmakers and injuries, so Charles Clay could get a couple touchdowns there.
Arthur, you like a tight end?
Well, of course, Rob Gronkowski. I'm hoping he will throw Brandon Merriweather out the club this week several times. I think that's a strong bet to see that happen. But just to keep it original, Greg Olsen, I think, is a really good play, too. We talked about the injuries in Green Bay. Olsen has been really, really consistent and the obvious top target for Cam Newton. Middle-tier guy Ben Watson is starting to stack performances and has the trust of Drew Brees, it would appear, and that Titans defense we talked about a little bit earlier is better, but I think it's beatable. I think Watson could find a way to continue stacking those performances. And then a guy in Pittsburgh who I think really has a chance to take advantage of increased opportunities in Le'Veon Bell's absence is Heath Miller. I believe he was the leading target guy for Ben Roethlisberger last week, went over 100 yards, and John Sally will tell us what the Oakland Raiders defense does against tight ends.
They still can't stop them. The newsflash, the Oakland Raiders are terrible against tight ends.
Unless it's Owen Daniels.
God, man.
I told you guys.
One exception, Owen Daniels. There's a reason the Broncos traded for a tight end.
Yeah, can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about Brandon Davis.
I think that's a good move. I don't think he's going to got to remember, not a lot of passing touchdowns in Denver. But if Vernon plays this week, I could see him. A lot of times guys will come in without a knowledge of the offense, and ignorance is bliss, and they wind up surprising you and scoring. So I wouldn't, if you're desperate at tight end, and as long as he's going to play, he might be a good play this week.
I think he's an instant upgrade at the Broncos. Absolutely. For tight end. Owen Daniels, I know everyone was high on him because he knows Gary Kubiak's system and Manning likes to target the tight end. Hasn't been there. So Arthur, Vernon Davis, worth a pickup?
Yeah, no doubt about it. We don't really know necessarily what Vernon Davis will, you know, show up in Denver, but we know Peyton Manning's affinity for finding his tight ends. And the best part about that deal to me, and we know that Gary Kubiak loves his tight ends too, but the best part of the deal to me is that we saw Peyton Manning dialing up the deep ball again. He really came off the bye looking like he had a little bit of improved arm strength. And of course, that's what Vernon Davis does best. So if they can get something going up the seam, yeah, I think Davis entering that offense just gives it one more option and a really intriguing guy. And this is a big week. Jimmy Graham is down, Travis Kelce down on bye. So, you know, tight end, our owners could be looking for some plays there.
Okay, so I got a Peyton question then. Do we really think that Peyton's arm strength is back to where it's an acceptable level? And it's almost the reverse of last year, where he started out strong and then he was noodle-armed from November on. Or was it a one-week aberration because he's coming off the bye, he looked good on Sunday night?
You know, I think I've seen every pass he's thrown this year, and I'm a fan, as I've told you guys before, and I, you know, so I probably tend to be a little softer on him than I might. He looked good. I would not overreact. I would not go try to buy low on him. If anything, maybe you could sell high on him. He was coming off a bye week. You know, he got to rest. I think there's something going on with his grip. I mean, he's wearing a glove now he never used to. We all know how neck injuries can relate all the way down the arm. Let's see. I mean, if he can light it up this week against the Colts, then you feel better. But he does have to start stacking some performances. But it was a positive sign, so hopefully he can build on it.
Yeah, I
don't. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't think Peyton's going to start throwing the deep ball like Joe Flacco or Carson Palmer. But I do think and I've been reluctant to bury him. I think I've said that on this podcast a number of times. The offensive line is improving. Obviously, the run game is improving. These elements can't hurt Peyton. So if you're looking for a sudden deep ball specialist out of nowhere, that's not going to happen. But I do think there were some encouraging signs there, and I do think we could see a couple more solid performances from Peyton before it's said and done.
That run game is key. And if somebody did waive, I think a few weeks ago we were asked, should you drop C.J. Anderson? And I said no. If he is available in your league, I'd pick him up. There's no guarantee he's going to reemerge, but he looked good last week. And with all the shortage of quality backs this year, if you can find C.J. Anderson on a waiver wire, I'd recommend picking him up.
Not a bad pick. We'll circle back here to tight ends. Oakland, again, still can't cover the tight end. And Heath Miller's 2,700 on DraftKings. He's, I think, locked into cash game and tournament lineups for me. I do like the Charles Clay play and kind of like Gary Barnridge against Cincinnati. Cleveland's going to have to throw. And
that guy, where did he come from? He looks like your insurance salesman, doesn't he? And the guy scores every week.
He balls out every week.
He does. Fantastic.
All right, that'll do it for the podcast this week. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared to help you win throughout the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. The new Chevy Silverado lineup features high-strength steel for high-strength dependability. Check out all the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guests on today's show, J.C. Talon and Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. Our associate producer was Nick DeMaio. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.